what I'm going to do very quickly after we look to the Lord in communication is do a very quick summary so that when we get to chapter 12, verse 1, we know what therefore means. Because that therefore has a lot of power in that verse. And, you know, just because we're finite beings and we can't do it, we can't understand everything at once, we do take verses and just hit chapter 12. But I want you to understand and get a sense for chapter 12 is not sitting here by itself. There's a whole logical underpinning before we get there. But before we do that, let's look to the Father in communication. Our Father, we do ask as we look in your word that we frame our mind on those things that you have for us there, and we see what the Holy Spirit teaches us. Amen. Now, if you turn to the first chapter of Romans, there's three, I think it's really superficial and ignorant of people to say this book has one theme. And there are people that say what the argument of the book. And when I say, so when I say that Romans has three major strands that go through it, that's not all that's going through it, but there are three. One of which is the sin nature, another which is law, and he'll use the word law at least nine, maybe more different ways. And the third one is that there's two groups. Romans is a lot like Galatians in one area. He'll bring up Jewish heritage and culture to get the identification with some of the people reading this, and then he'll bring in the Gentiles. And so those three themes, as we go back very quickly to bring us to chapter 12, remember you're going to see sin nature, and you're going to see law, and you're going to see different qualities of law. Sometimes it means principle or rule. And then you'll see these two groups. So turn, if you will, to Romans, the first chapter, and I just want to summarize the first chapter with just one verse, verse 24. And this is a verse that says that if in the context, now I know this context, it says in this context, if you leave the sin nature without any kind of restraints, the sin nature will devolve and expand and do some crazy things. And if you want to see what's happening in our country, go to the next verses, but I don't want to go there right now. Oh, which reminds me. You know they're going to change the eagle from the icon of our country, don't you? Going to make it a fruitcake. Okay. Now, verse 24. Wherefore God handed them over to uncleanness by the lust of their very own hearts. We'll see as we progress in the book, that's a definition of the sin nature. And then they, when the sin nature has no restraints, that's why Satan has developed the world system, it'll do strange things. And that's in this context. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So already Paul is documenting what a terrible, expansive thing the sin nature is. Over in the second chapter, in the 16th verse, he talks about that there's, if I were to summarize this, there's some ideas of people under law and not under law, but the 16th verse indicates that God will judge, and in this context it is here, and in the previous context, God will judge all unrighteousness. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's a third gospel in this book. You have one in 1:16. You have another one in the 16th chapter. This is a gospel of judgment. So there's three gospels in this book. Now, you go over to the third chapter. In the third chapter, in the 19th verse, what we're going to see here is that the Jewish, in the Old Testament, the Jews had an advantage. And what Paul is going, this is a major theme in this book. Paul is going to say, Jews, which I'm one of you, your advantage is gone. That's, and then he'll bring in the Gentiles. So let's look at verse 19. Now we know what things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world became found guilty before God. And that what that tells us is that we can't go back in the Old Testament and go, ha, 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 because they were just a proxy. They represented all of mankind. And if we were there, we would have done the same thing. generally speaking. That's what it's saying there. Now in verse 26, I declare, I say this time his righteousness, that's God the Father, that he might be right, and the one that declares right, the people right, of him which believe in Jesus. Now, so what he's done is he said, and there's a whole lot more, he's saying every man has a sin nature. And he's going to deal with law too, but he's really starting to document the fact that the only righteousness there is in Christ. Now, and keep this in mind, because when we get the 12th chapter, when he says, therefore, all this is presumed, he's reaching a conclusion. Go, if you will, to the 4th chapter. And in the 4th chapter, I'm not going to read it because the time's already getting away from me. In the 3rd and 4th verses, you have Abraham. In the 6th verse, you have David. And the 24th verse, you have us. And what he's saying here, although the imputation of righteousness is counted a different way in three different dispensations, it's all by faith. And it's all God that does it. You can't do it on your own. You'll need that in the 12th chapter. Okay. Now, in the 6th chapter, 5th chapter, we have the fact in the 12th verse that Adam's sin act started the life cycle. And that's kind of a summative statement. It wasn't that quick, but it did happen. And then in the 12th verse, we have that, in the 17th verse, yeah, we have that Adam's trespass started the fact that every human being is born spiritually dead. Now, in the sixth chapter, what has he done so far? He said every man's got a sin nature. Every man would have goofed up under the law because the Jews just represented everyone. And now in the 6th chapter, he's going to say, but you know what? In Christ, you don't have to be a slave of the sin nature. Now, let me just read one part of verse 11 in the 6th chapter that we sometimes don't get a chance to get to. But in the last part, it says, now remember, your King James has the order of words wrong here, that that the victory over the sin nature is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, remember what he did back in the 2nd and 3rd chapter? He says that Jews used to have an advantage, but they don't have it anymore. He's going to develop that even farther. Chapter 7, verse 7. This is very, very important. In chapter 7, verse 7, Paul says that the law, and then he'll extend that to inequality of law, proves to you, you can prove to yourself you have a sin nature. And let me give a mind picture this way. At the Alamo, which is one of the greatest monuments or milestones of our history, Bowie drew a line. And he said, if you come across this line, you can stay, and if you don't, you can leave. Well, it's this verse in verse 7 is kind of like laws and rules draw a line. And the minute you draw a line for an unfallen or a fallen human being with a sin nature, they could try and step over it. So any rules prove that you have a sin nature. Are you getting the theme of sin nature here? Chapter 8, verse 2. The principle of the Spirit regarding life is in Christ. So he's going to keep offering, he keeps saying, there's no advantage to Jews anymore. We're not under the Mosaic law anymore. But there is an advantage in Christ as far as overcoming the sin nature. Then in, that's chapter 8. Chapter 9, you get the concept that Israel will not be abandoned forever. But now they are. They're not in the place of God's blessing at this point. And then he brings in the Gentiles. Chapter 10. And this is, we'll come back to chapter 10, but in chapter 10, the last part of chapter 9, Paul and the Holy Spirit indicate there are some. Now, he just told you that about the law, and he just told you several times in this book that their only righteousness there is in Christ. And now he's going to say, you know, there's some of you guys that are trying to gain righteousness on your own. Then we get to chapter 11. I'm going to start reading the verses again. Verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained what she seeks for, but the election. Israel was corporately, listen to the term, corporately elect. Now, most of them weren't saved. We can read the Old Testament and figure that out.